The church's music from the 20th century. The 17th century. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
These sad events punctuate the landscape of pop culture. It is, in a lot of ways, maybe a dark side, showing us a dark side to pop culture. You see these celebrities who live, they travel, they kind of live the dream that many of us think we want. And then suddenly, and often very unexpectedly, one of them commits suicide. We had a famous fashion designer just last week commit suicide, and then Anthony Bourdain, one of those men who kind of trotted the globe and taught us about food and something more. There was something about his personality that so many people found compelling. Then he commits suicide in a Paris hotel. What are we to think when we see people who seemingly have it all, obviously suffering in deep pain, deep enough to drive them to kill themselves? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Wesley Smith joins us for the next half hour of the program. We're going to talk about celebrity suicides, but also a possible change in the American Medical Association's Code of Medical Ethics regarding physician-assisted suicide. Wesley is a regular guest. He's senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's a consultant to the Patients' Rights Council, columnist for National Review Online, and author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Do Harm Medicine. Wesley, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
You have recently written about Anthony Bourdain's suicide. What was your first reaction to the news?
Well, I wish I could say I was surprised. I was a very big fan of his show called Parts Unknown, and I had been noticing in the current season that he was less subversive, if I could use that term, because, you know, he was a very, as you said, authentic, very kind of in-your-face, caustic, compelling personality. I disagreed with his politics, but I just he was an incredible talent, and I loved his show. And this season, I had been noticing that he seemed to be going, this is just my opinion, going through the motions. And it was far less sizzly, if you will. And the night before he killed himself, I actually watched, I had taped his show to Hong Kong. And if any show is going to have a lot of sizzle and fun, it would be the Hong Kong show. And I found it very bland and very drab. And in one scene in particular, he was with some cinematographer who he greatly admired and who I'd never heard of. And the cinematographer, you know, suddenly kind of an impulse kissed him on the cheek, and Bourdain smiled. And I noticed, honestly, this is the night before, I noticed that the smile didn't reach his eyes and that in his eyes there was despair. And in recent episodes, you know, he's very open about his demons, if you will. And he was a drug addict, and he had started on air smoking marijuana. And I was thinking, you know, I'm not sure that's such a good idea. If you're a drug addict, you know, you've been addicted to cocaine and addicted to heroin. I didn't talk to him. I didn't know him, obviously, but I was thinking it. I also didn't like the idea of marijuana being smoked on television. So I thought that he was struggling with something. And so I didn't say I predicted it or anything, but it seemed to me he was, and that show was months ago, but he seemed to be struggling with something. But it's in the wake of the other suicide of the designer, who my wife, Kate Spade, who my wife was talking to me about, and it upset her because she has some of Kate Spade's items. And, you know, but we shouldn't just care about suicide when it's famous people. There is a suicide epidemic in this country. Since 1999, the suicide rate has gone up about 25%. In fact, I wrote a piece on the National Review Online about the Bourdain suicide and the suicide crisis. Let me just share some statistics that was published by the New York Times. The rate starting in 2006, double the annual of the study, which started in 1999. In all, 42,773 people died from suicide in 2014. That compares with 29,199 in 1999. So in, say, 15 years, you've had a tremendous, let's say, I'm just doing quick math, 13 to 14,000 more suicides a year. There's something going on, and it's the culture. I think that the same things that are leading to the suicides and are leading to the opioid epidemic, in some regard, maybe leading to these shootings, there's something going on in this culture that isn't healthy. And it is making people feel isolated and hopeless and a loss of cohesion. I think, honestly, Todd, a lot of it has to do with the secularization of the society. When you feel the walls are closing in and you have no faith, how do you cope with that? It might be very difficult to cope with that. I also think that the assisted suicide movement, there's certainly a correlation as that assisted suicide movement has gained traction, as it has been celebrated in the media, as the media, in fact, just 2 or 3 weeks ago, I don't know if we talked about it on the show, we might have, this fellow named Goodall from Australia flew to Switzerland to die at a suicide clinic, and the media were just gagging and breathless about it. They made Brittany Maynard an A-list celebrity because she wanted to kill herself and because she did, because she, you know, in terms of assisted suicide and her brain cancer. And so there's been a complete, as assisted suicide movement has energized and gained acceptability and, in fact, being promoted in the media, you've also seen a concomitant rise in suicide rates. Now, correlation may not be causation, but I think that there is something. There's something, it's not the reason, but I think it's part of the reason. You can't promote suicide, which is what the assisted suicide movement does, and expect somebody who's deeply hurting to say, oh, well, I don't have cancer, so that doesn't apply to me, when you've told people that killing yourself is an acceptable answer to the problems of human suffering. Well, a lot of people suffer far worse who are not ill than who are ill. So there's a lot going on here, and you're a pastor. I'm sure you have some ideas too.
What I'm curious about is, and I just want your thoughts on the kind of the media end of it, how it is what you just pointed out, Wesley, that the media can celebrate assisted suicide and yet mourn celebrity suicide. We'll get Wesley's answer to that question on the other side of the break on this Tuesday afternoon, June the 12th. We're talking about two issues with Wesley Smith, senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. We're talking about celebrity suicides and a little bit later, the possible change to the American Medical Association's Code of Medical Ethics on physician-assisted suicide.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore, thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority. They've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilk. We'll talk about celebrity suicides and a little bit later. The American Medical Association's contemplating a change to its code of medical ethics on physician-assisted suicide. Our guest is Wesley Smith of the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. Wesley, how do you sort out the notion that the media, as you pointed out before the break, can celebrate assisted suicide? I mean, practically popping champagne corks when someone travels to die, but mourn celebrity suicides.
Because I don't think they connect the dots very well. I've noticed this. I've been fighting assisted suicide and euthanasia for 25 years. It's hard to believe. My first piece against that agenda came out in Newsweek magazine in June of 1993. I had no idea at that time that I'd still be working this. But the good news is we've substantially held it at bay over that period of time, the people who were fighting this. But the media do odd things. For example, I call it euthanasia world. Let's say they talk about elder abuse. They'll decry elder abuse, which, of course, is a big problem in this country. They'll decry when people can't get good access to medical care and this kind of thing. Then someone will say, well, let's talk about assisted suicide. Suddenly, all elderly people are treated beautifully by their families. All doctors have just kind, loving relationships with people who all have access to the best health care there is, and they still want assisted suicide. There's a complete disconnect in the real world because they seem to have an ideological commitment, and I think in a very shallow way have decided this is compassion, this is the future. The only people who are against it are religious fanatics, forgetting the fact that some of the most powerful opponents of assisted suicide are disability rights activists who tend to be, and I'm speaking generally, very secular in their outlook, very liberal in their politics, and not even pro-life on abortion. But they have a story, and they're not going to let the facts get in the way of the story. But it's very dangerous because they extol suicide parties. The New York Times several months ago had a story that had to be 5,000 words from the front page. Maybe it was 3,000 words. It was about a euthanasia party in BC, Canada, where people came to say goodbye to this guy, and at the end of the thing, that he was going to be killed by a doctor. And the New York Times was breathless in their extolling this thing. The LA Times did one of the same kind of thing on an assisted suicide from a woman with Lou Gehrig's disease. So the media and then the popular culture, let's not forget the movies that push this idea, like Million Dollar Baby and Me Before You or You Before Me, whatever that title of that movie was. It is a constant positive plot that somebody has euthanasia or assisted suicide. It really is a difficult issue for those of us who are opposing assisted suicide to get past.
Let's talk a little bit about physician-assisted suicide in light of a Washington Post piece wherein the reporter is talking about some speculation about the American Medical Association and their code of medical ethics and possible changes with respect to physician-assisted suicide. Where does the AMA stand right now on the issue?
The AMA is adamantly opposed to assisted suicide. There has always been a small contingent within the AMA that is hoping that it will. The euthanasia advocates want the medical associations to adopt a position of what they called studied neutrality, whatever that means. We're looking at this very closely, but we don't have opinions. We're neutral. And they've actually succeeded in getting that done in a few places like California and a few other places. A few months ago, an ethics committee, maybe about a month ago, an AMA ethics committee came out with an opinion that basically said we should not call it aid in dying, which is the euphemism of choice of compassion and choices. We should not call it death with dignity because that is not a precise description. It should continue to be called physician-assisted suicide because that's what it is, and that's absolutely right. And then they also recommended that there not be a change in the current AMA stance. That was submitted to apparently to the current convention. It was not rejected, but it was returned for study. They returned the issue to the, they didn't accept it, but they returned the issue for further study to the ethics committee. Now, that just means it's up for further study. Doesn't mean they're going to change their position, but in the interim, the year that's between now and then, if people oppose assisted suicide, they should urge their doctor to let his or her position be known, and they should let their positions be known to the AMA. We do not want our doctors of the American Medical Association being neutral about this important issue, and we do not want them to support it. We want them to oppose it. Helping people kill themselves is not medicine, and it interferes with the proper relationship between patient and doctor. It interferes with proper familial relationships. For example, Todd, one of your listeners might one day receive a call saying, well, you know, this is Sister Sue. You know, Grandma's got cancer. She lives in Oregon. She's supposed to die within 6 months, but she's doing it next Tuesday. We want you to come. Well, what do? If you go and attend the suicide, you're validating what grandma's doing. You're validating and confirming her worst fears. She might be worried about being a burden. She might be worried that she won't be as lovable or worthy of being loved if she goes through a decline. But if you don't go, you might have be estranged from your family. So there are going to be an increasing number of people who are going to be put on this horns dilemma. Do I go and support a suicide even though I don't believe in it, even though it's I don't want grandma to do it, or do I risk my family relationship? And Todd, pastors are going to have to start grappling with these issues. They may have some Lutheran pastors or whatever. You might have a parishioner come into your study asking for pastoral care saying, do I go to Oregon or don't I? And pastors need to be thinking about this too. So assisted suicide throws the entire system 180 degrees on its head.
I'd like you to respond to David Grube, who is a retired family physician from Oregon, also National Medical Director for Compassion and Choices, an organization obviously in favor of physician-assisted suicide. He's quoted in the Washington Post piece as saying that the current AMA policy is antiquated, and he says, do no harm leads to a lot of harm in medicine, people on breathing machines for months and all kinds of things.
Well, see, that's just baloney. These guys always do things like that. Nobody is forced to be on a breathing machine. If somebody doesn't want to have any medical intervention, they have the absolute legal right to refuse it. If you don't want to be hooked up to machines, like a respirator, you have the absolute right to refuse it. But that he would say that as if, because a lot of people don't know it, and try to conflate the idea of assisted suicide with being forced to be hooked up to machines just tells you how dishonest that movement is.
Where does the American public, as far as we know, stand on this? I know it's passed in some states, but do we have any idea whether or not public opinion is being swayed by either the media's treatment of it or the kind of propaganda that we hear from Compassion and Choices?
Well, a lot of it depends on how the question is asked. You know, if you want to get a large yes vote, You can ask a question such as, you think that if somebody's in pain and nothing can be done to alleviate their suffering, that they should have the right blah, blah, blah. Or, and of course, that's a false premise, generally speaking, because there's always something people can do. And by the way, none of the laws require that there be nothing that can be done. That's something that is used to sell it, the fear-mongering about agonizing deaths. But nothing, no law requires that objectively that somebody be undergoing an agonizing death. It just requires, in this country, a diagnosis of 6 months or left to live. And by the way, there have been several occasions, several cases out of Oregon, for example, where people were told by a death doctor who may have had an ideological predisposition, they had 6 months or less to live, and they lived for years. So, I mean, even the six-month thing is a very uncertain circumstance. If you ask people whether there should be assisted suicide, accurately describe it, the support for it drops considerably. And the best kind of polling, I think, is an election. In Massachusetts, I believe it was 2012, which is not red state Bible Belt, they rejected legalizing assisted suicide. Colorado, and I think it was in 2014, accepted assisted suicide. I think the American people, when they're forced to focus on proposals that are made, and when they're forced to think about what exactly it means, will tend to stop supporting it. But it's difficult. I'd say it. You know, when we win, it's a narrow win, and when they win, usually, although Colorado wasn't, it's a narrow win. I have to say, most states continue to reject assisted suicide. Hawaii legalized it. Either, I think it was late last year, might have been earlier this year, but there have been like 25 or 30 states that refused it. Just in the last two or three weeks, Finland refused to legalize it, and so did Portugal. California, a court invalidated that state's assisted suicide law because it was improperly and unconstitutionally enacted during a special session that had nothing to do with that subject. And so that law is no longer valid. So right now in this country, there are five states in the District of Columbia that have laws legalizing assisted suicide.
Wesley Smith is senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism, a consultant to the Patients' Rights Council, columnist for National Review Online, author of several books, including Culture of Death, The Age of Do Harm Medicine. You can read his columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Find his books there as well. Wesley, thank you very much.
Thanks again, Todd. Always good talking with you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to discuss media coverage of the annual meeting of the Southern Baptist Convention. They just elected a new president, the youngest president they've ever elected. This afternoon, we'll talk about that with syndicated columnist Terry Mattingly. The latest Issues Etc. journal is out, and it's absolutely free online for you. It contains an essay I've written called Confessions of a Well-Intended Preacher, reflecting on about 15, 20 years of preaching on my part that, well, I thought I was protecting my people from something in God's Word. I should have known better. You can read all about it in the latest Issues Etc. journal, also in the Wittenberg Trail feature. Lyman Stone has written his story, From Despair to the Real Presence of God. You can subscribe for free to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org. Click the red button that says subscribe, enter your email address, and we'll send it to you absolutely free. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstatt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstatt.org.